superior news and issues from a superior point of view.
That's the sound of the dragon boats off Barker's Island. So what's it doing in a hotel in Madison?
We brought a dragon boat display. You know, dragon boat coming up in August again. And showed people in Madison what we have going on.
It's Superior Days, and Northwest Wisconsin takes this case to the Capitol.
And if you turn the whole document over, you'll see a layout of our city. So we really want to invest in that waterfront where the freights are, grain elevators, that really unique landscape that makes Superior Superior.
What more could you ask for? How about some kombucha?
You want to try it?
Welcome to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, reporting to you from Madison with a refreshment from back home. It's one thing to complain that the power brokers at the Capitol don't always think about those of us 325 miles away in the northwest corner of the state. It's another thing to do something about it, which the delegates from Superior Days have been doing for 39 years. The three dozen or so making the trip included a cross-section of the region, from high school and college students to senior civic and business leaders hailing from throughout the area, including not just Superior proper, but Ashland and Bayfield counties and beyond. Its primary purpose is to lobby lawmakers for legislative priorities for northwestern Wisconsin. Some of those include approval for the city of Superior to establish an exposition district. Another proposal would allow counties and municipalities to retain 20% of sales tax currently collected by the state. And delegates also called for an increase in Medicaid reimbursement rates for mental health and nursing home care. I joined the delegation on Monday through Thursday this week at the Capitol and down the street at the Madison Concourse Hotel. Douglas County Board of Supervisors Chairman Mark Liebert led the group, duties he normally shares with Superior Mayor Jim Payne, who was unable to attend due to the death of his father. Liebert emceed the gathering with introductions of several elected officials and dignitaries, including Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers. Here's Mark Liebert.
I think this is the second or third time I've had the chance to be on stage with the governor and introduce him. I also have had many times to meet him when he comes up to Superior. And unlike the predecessor, you don't just come up when we've had disasters. So it's nice to see you when there's other things to talk about. And I appreciate you and everybody. Let's give the governor a good hand.
Well, it's a pleasure to be back. This is the 39th, I think, 39th annual Superior Days. So I want to begin by recognizing all the folks who made it possible. I know Mayor Payne is not here, unfortunately. His father passed away. But Mark, thank you, and the partnership between Superior and Douglas County is really strong, and making sure that people have great places to live, work, and raise families. So thanks. Also want to thank everybody here who came out to make sure that voices of northwestern Wisconsin are heard. We've accomplished a heck of a lot this last year, and it's thanks to all the hard work and dedication of all of you folks. First and foremost, Wisconsin finally has fair maps. How about that? In February, is proud to sign a new legislative maps that are fair and responsive and reflect the will of the people. I believe, as all said, people should get to choose their elected officials, not the other way around. And under these maps I signed into law, we're making good on that promise. Our maps make a number of important updates in northwest Wisconsin for our state, and rather than the partisan gerrymandering of the past, our maps join Lake Superior shoreline communities that have strong maritime traditions and economic and cultural connections. The maps now also show that the two largest cities in far northern Wisconsin, Superior and Ashland, are in one district. It keeps portions of the Bad River reservation together and ensures that Madeline Island is reachable without having to travel through another district, and keeps the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore all within that one assembly district. Last time I was here with you, I also talked about how it was high time that we, at the state level, stopped asking our local partners to do more with less, and I made good on that promise. I'm always believed that supporting our local communities is an area where we could find common ground and bipartisan support, and that's just what we did. Last summer, I was really happy to work across the aisle to come up with a deal on shared revenue that includes a 20% increase in support to most municipalities in the state. And there we go. For the city of Superior, that deal was bringing a more than 20% increase in the amount of aid received for local services like police, fire, EMS, public libraries, and more. And for Douglas County, this deal nearly doubled what would happen there normally. So here's the bottom line. Our local community should have the resources they need to meet basic and unique needs alike, period. It's simple. That includes making sure people have the ability to have safe roads and getting from point A to point B. And for more than 60 years, the Botnick Bridge has been a vital link between communities and businesses in Superior and Duluth. But as it's reached the end of its service life, it's time to replace it. It's a crucial connector for a safer, more efficient, and more reliable structure. Thanks to more than $1 billion from federal funds that we received jointly with Minnesota through the bipartisan infrastructure law. That is exactly what we're going to do. In addition to that, Wisconsin put up $400 million as well as Minnesota $400 million. Through investments like this, we're building a 21st century infrastructure that this area of the state needs desperately. But to continue that great work, we need to make sure our workforce is well equipped and prepared to meet the needs of the 21st century. That's why I declared 2024 the year of the worker and announced several new initiatives like our new healthcare workforce task force and renewed my commitment to making smart, really strategic commitments that will help us not only grow our homegrown talent, but also bring new workers to the state and keeping them here. But solving our workforce challenges is going to take all of us working together. There's several things that are really key to this. We must expand paid family leave. For those of you who follow this issue, paid family leave is really important. Every state around us has it. And if we don't get behind it, people are already leaving the state to go to work in Minnesota, Illinois, and Michigan. We also need to invest in our public education systems at every level, from early childhood to our technical colleges and universities, and find a long-term solution to our looming child care crisis. Just a little bit of background on the child care piece is that if we continue not supporting financially early childhood programming and operations in the state, there's many, especially in Northwest Wisconsin. I can remember being at Iron River one day. I think they have one child care operator there, and they couldn't afford to continue. Well, when that happens in the Iron River area without early childhood, somebody's going to be staying at home, and for every child that leaves child care, we're going to lose somebody in the workforce. And so investing in early child care or early childhood care is really, really important. But if the last few years have taught us anything, I believe that big things can happen when we do it together. While we have some pretty significant steps forward in a lot of different work areas, like making updates to our tuition reciprocity agreement with Minnesota and securing really a historic amount of money for affordable housing statewide, we're not slowing down. We need to continue our efforts on broadband expansion, and we need to continue our fighting for greater healthcare access, and we need to continue to make sure that the Republican lawmakers release $125 million already approved for fighting PFAS and keeping harmful contaminants out of our water. So we must continue putting our local communities first, and because when they thrive, our entire state thrives. That's why events like Superior Days are so important. You get a chance to talking to people in the legislature to talk about your needs and how important it is to you, but it's also going to be really important for us as a state. So have a great day at the Capitol and tomorrow too, right?
Yep.
Good. And bring home some good wins. So thank you.
That was Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers speaking in Madison this week at the 39th Annual Superior Days. The delegation from northwestern Wisconsin heard from numerous state officials, but it wasn't just a one-way street, and the Superior visitors did the talking while lobbying directly to legislators and their staffs. Here's one group comprised of Superior City Councilor Lindsey Gransky and Douglas County Supervisor Sam Pumish, accompanied by Jaslyn McKay of Superior High School and Josh Henson of Northwestern High. They're visiting the office of Representative Sheila Stubbs of Madison.
Hello. Oh, hi. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm Lindsey.
Your Superior Days and my crew here.
Hello there.
Hi.
Thank you for having us.
How is everyone doing today?
Good.
Wow, doing fine. I'm Lindsey Gransky, and I just wanted to say we're here on behalf of Superior Days and give you a little insight about what we're working with. Yep. I'm going to turn over to our high school representative, Jazz here, Jazzy, to kind of talk more about our expedition district that we're looking to source some funding for. So.
Yeah, so in Douglas County, we are looking to grow economically, which also means turning less into more faster. And so with the opportunity to create this exposition district, it will allow for Superior to have more jobs opening up, wages to increase, and overall just like increase tourism, culture, and like our county and community will begin to flourish because of that. So we are trying to collect money from our food and beverage tax, mm-hmm. which is 2%, and that'll go directly to the convention center. Mm-hmm. Progress and everything. So it won't go into our city funds, it'll go straight to that.
And you can see here this insert kind of gives you like a visual that's been doctored up for us. And if you turn the whole document over, you'll see a layout of our city. So we're really want to invest in that waterfront where the freights are, grain elevators, that really unique landscape that makes Superior Superior.
Yeah. Thank you for visiting us.
I appreciate your time.
Yeah,
this has been great.
So did they get what they asked for? It takes more than one meeting, but it helps with a little advice from a local legislator. Coming up after this.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. The Superior Days delegation is officially nonpartisan and for years has included Republicans and Democrats joining together for area improvements both sides can agree on. The area has traditionally leaned blue, even as the state legislature tilted red in recent years, notably with the election of Republican State Senator Romaine Quinn in 2022, along with two other Republicans in the region's assembly seats. Quinn has long been a booster of Superior Days, first attending himself as a teen before becoming the mayor of Rice Lake at 19. With the legislative maps recently redrawn and likely to flip the district back to blue, Senator Quinn spoke to the group with his advice on navigating the political waters regardless of which party holds the power. Here are excerpts from his talk, introduced by Mark Liebert.
Romaine Quinn is the state senator for Wisconsin's 25th Senate District, which covers the entire North Shore of Lake Superior from Minnesota to Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Born and raised in Rice Lake, Wisconsin, Mr. Quinn became the youngest mayor in Wisconsin at just 19 years old. Quinn attended college at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire and the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, earning his interdisciplinary degree in political science and public leadership. Upon graduation, Quinn ran and was elected to the State Assembly, where he served for 6 years. Quinn left the legislature for 2 years to start his family and was recently elected to the State Senate in 2022. Currently, Senator Quinn chairs the Senate Committee on Housing, Rural Issues, and Forestry. He also serves on the Committee on Utilities and Technology, Committee on Agriculture and Tourism, the Committee on Education, the Committee on Shared Revenue, and the Elections and Consumer Protection, as well as the Joint Committee on Information Policy and Technology. Quinn and his wife, along with her two young sons, live in Cameron, Wisconsin, where they enjoy the outdoors, raising beef cattle, and he is a member of the Wisconsin Realtors Association, the Knights of Columbus, and a parish council member for St. Joseph Catholic Church. It is my displeasure to say that this will be, two more years that you'll be serving us in the 25th district until 2026.
Great.
Yep. And then he will be hopefully running in the 23rd.
We'll see what happens.
Ever since he was on the assembly, he has been one of our contacts for Superior Days, and he has been a great supporter of the issues of Northern Wisconsin. He has fought hard to change legislature opinions, and he has always worked for this. He will actually be missed in our district, but we will make sure that we will still continue when you are in the 23rd district, that you will be one of our top guys to come over the top of us, because we appreciate what you've done for us. So, Mr. Quinn.
Very good. Well, good morning. Thank you all for having me. As Mark said, I'm Romaine. It's my privilege to represent you in the State Senate since the 2022 election. Previously served in the Assembly. I got out and then hit my head and decided to run again. And so here I am. So who are all students? I see a few at this table. I think I told the story last, oh gosh, there's a lot. Awesome. I think I told the story last time. I actually got kind of my first bug in politics attending Superior Days when Barron County and the Rice Lake area used to be affiliated with the group before they broke off and started Heart of the North Days. I remember back then, I think I met Janet Bewley when she was still a city council member, maybe in Ashton, or maybe that's when she first got to the assembly. And then I, you know, came to Madison a couple times, really enjoyed it. And I think it really was the first spark of public interest in those issues. So thank you for being here today. I hope all of you, one of you, wants my seat at some point. You can have it, and you need to run as well. So thanks for being here. It's so important. And I will say, department heads, legislators, staff, they do listen to students a lot more than adults. So when you do walk into those rooms, feel the most important because you are. Because when you talk, we actually do listen a little more intently, right or wrong. So you really can make a difference. Thanks for making the trip. So I'm on a lot of different committees. We work with a lot of different issues. Legislators are supposed to know a little about a lot, and we can't possibly know everything. And that's why it's so important that all of you continue to make the trip, continue to make the connections, to reach out, to put your issues on paper, to put tangible solutions on paper, and to put those in front of us. Because even though I'm your state senator, I feel like I've got a fairly good grasp on what's going on. I don't live in Superior, just like I don't live in Park Falls, which is also in our seat. Just like I don't live in Phillips or Bayfield or Ashland. I'm from Rice Lake. I don't live in Rice Lake anymore, right? So you can't just assume that those that maybe represent you or those in your general region know all the issues that you care about, because we just can't possibly know that unless you tell us, which is why these trips are so important. So I think there's a lot of opportunities going forward in this session with Superior, with the region. There's a lot of great projects going on. UW-Superior campus, this budget invested more in infrastructure than we have in the past. As chair of housing, we ushered through the largest single investment in affordable housing in state history, $525 million investing to expand units across the state of Wisconsin. We know housing is so critical. I'm also on the WEDA board, and as chairman, I ushered through one of your own, Mr. Jeff Skrenis. I don't know if he's here this time, but he sits on the WEDA's board with me, the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Association. So just know that you have your own personal contact from the city of Superior on that board, which I think is really important. Housing, child care, infrastructure, economic development and support. Like I said, there's a lot of opportunity and a lot of challenges going on. So instead of me maybe talking at you now, I'd love this just to be conversational until Representative Green shows up. If there's any issues you want to go over here through your packet, if there's others that didn't make the cut but you have questions or concerns on, always happy to chat. I will just mention briefly the map issue, since it was brought up. It's a little confusing, and right or wrong, no matter which side you fall on the map issue. So right now, historically, state senators, there's always been some that are in the middle of their term every time a map is redrawn. Whether there's a court case or not, every 10 years there's a census, it's redrawn, there's always been holdover, so that's not new. So I am one of those this cycle, where I was elected to a four-year term. The district changed out from under me, but I'm allowed to finish my term. So although I don't technically live in the 25th State Senate seat come January when the new maps take hold, I'm allowed to finish my term, and I have every intent to finish my term and continue representing you as I have the last 2 years and finish that out. At that point, I do live in the 23rd. Barron County was cut out for the first time since the 1960s. I went back to the Blue Books, and unfortunately, they're not affiliated with the Northern Senate seat anymore. So at that point, I had to make a decision to move into the 25th if I want to continue to run, which would mean I have to sell my house and move at least into Washburn County, or we'd stay in the new 23rd. So either way, you're going to have great representation. You're going to have new representation for your assembly seat. That changed as well. Representative Sapik's not here today. She is not running. So you will have someone brand new in the assembly as well. And then obviously Chance Green is kind of a floater right on the outside of Superior to represent your rural areas and your other interests for Superior Day. So with that, I would love to open it up just for discussion, questions, and keep it simple.
And maybe I'll go first. One thing I'd like to have you talk about is I know last year one of the big questions we had is what did you think the next year was going to bring? So now you've been in it a while as the state senator, and Chance has been here as Assemblyman. It would be nice to hear what did happen at the state level that you were happy with and maybe thought would happen, and what did happen that you maybe thought should have happened.
Yeah, so walking into this position, I had a pretty good idea because I was in the legislature for 6 years prior to that, but the Senate is its own animal. It is very different. People that get to the Senate, even if they came from the Assembly, something switches and things turn a little different. But different House, different priorities, different leadership styles. So there was challenges, but very similar to my time in the Assembly. I think there was actually more investment in areas than I thought we'd ever get done. So for instance, take K-12 education. So I've been on the education committee since I was in the assembly and now in the state senate because our rural schools really are the beating heart of our communities. And maybe not so much in other parts of the state, but sometimes in our small rural communities, that's all they have. That's really all they have. That's where people come together, that's how they identify. And if those schools can't continue to function and operate, those communities are gonna struggle culturally, economically, and all the other issues that come with that. So I've always tried to advocate for either a specific categorical aids that circumvent the formula that get to these schools, or to raise the bar in terms of the low revenue limit, because a lot of them have been frugal low spenders. And so my goal was to get everyone to 10,500, and we actually got to 11. And I know Superior, even though larger, not necessarily rurally, probably don't, those of you that live in the city don't think of yourselves as rural, but you were also locked into that low spending dollar amount that went from 10,000 to 11,000 overnight, which is really important, even though there's structurally still problems in Superior. If that didn't happen, it'd be in a much, much worse spot. So that was an important upper. I didn't think we would get there. The shared revenue package, I didn't think it would be as big as it ended up being, which is great. I think there's other opportunities as well with the, there's a special fund that we set aside to help fund consolidated services. So for instance, Ashland and Bayfield County are looking at sharing a joint dispatch. We're trying to find ways to make sure that they can tap into those funds. I can't remember the name of it, it's slipping my brain right now. I don't know if Eric, you can help me at all, but there's a $300 million pot for local governments that consolidate services and can show a savings. The Innovation Fund, you're the winner. And so that way these governments can tap into that hopefully and fund that transition of those services to incentivize, frankly, doing what you've already done. So initially I oppose the Innovation Fund because we're already consolidated, we already share services, we already do those things because we've had to for decades, and now they're finally recognizing it and want to reward it even though we've already done it. So if there's other opportunities, those will exist for our communities as well. So I think there were some really important wins in the housing package as well. That I didn't think we'd get done.
And one of the things we want to thank you from, at least from the county board's perspective and the city's perspective, was the shared revenue increase was well needed. The problem is that we spent most of it on well overdue, well earned bump up in pay for our workers who had had it since prior to was COVID probably. And great for now, but now what do we do next year?
So I do not envision any monumental changes with it next session, just because it was such a lift this session. That's always the fear too, whenever the legislature does something monumental, they pat themselves on the back and then they walk away for a decade, right? So that's the problem, is how do you continue the progress once you've made it? And so I think there's gonna be always ongoing conversations. There always are. You know, Sugar Grove still doesn't fix our EMS problem, our rural response times for our ambulance services throughout our northern and rural counties. It's still a really, really big struggle. You know, we see the challenges in the Chippewa Valley. Don't think that's not going to impact us, especially on the southern part of our Senate seat. These people are going to be looking for care, and they can't get it in their hometown. They're going to travel to your town to find a bed. They're already talking about 80% of the referrals at Cumberland were going to St. Joseph's, and they're talking about going to Duluth. So that could be a bed that your loved one could have been in, but someone from Cumberland is now taking, right? So we're all connected here on these issues. We're talking about housing or childcare or infrastructure or medical services. We're all connected, even though we might not think we are. So when we all do, when someone does better, we all do better. And so get back to your question about shared revenue. I don't see any major changes right now at this point. I think the legislature is probably going to take a breather, step back from that issue, and then address it again at some point.
Would they be open to what we've been lobbying for years on the 0.5% sales tax increase? Would they be open, do you think, to that if they're not open to bringing shared revenue up again?
Well, I am.
Yeah.
But
you always have.
Yeah, I'm one of 33. Yeah, Mark's talking about allowing a larger percentage of the sales tax to stay in your local communities. There's been a bill since I was in the assembly that broke out how that would be shared, right? That additional percent or 0.5%, the counties and munis that would go down to for infrastructure. Some want to do it for public service. There's always different bills that float out there wanting to let the exemptions for particular topics. So we'll see what the next session brings. It may not come in the form of shared revenue, but I know everyone always has their eye on infrastructure. You know, the more we can do to help with that. So this year we passed ARIP. So LRIP is the Local Road Improvement Program. There was a time where that was new and never permanent. Now we kind of made that permanent. $100 million, I think we went to two, didn't we, this last budget? Then we just created ARIP, the Agricultural Road Improvement Project. So trying to target county trunks, town trunks, where we know there's a lot of agricultural impact on our infrastructure, logging, our dairy farms, to try to build those roads to specs.
Forestry,
yep. So where our townships don't have to post the roads, and they can get the support they need to continue economic development and driving the economy. So we know places across from Wisconsin where, you know, a 30-foot bridge goes out and that adds 10 miles to a guy's route. The economic impact of that is really real. And that's infrastructure that we should be fixing and should be doing on time.
Good. How about some questions from participants here?
Mark Johnson, Superior City Council. I'm also a school teacher in Superior Special Education. One of the things that we're working on in Superior is changing an ordinance with our tobacco age from 18 to 21.
Sure.
At the state level, it's still 18, but the federal level, it's 21.
Yep.
I'm hopeful that we can get some movement on that. Where do you stand on changing the tobacco age from 18 to 21?
Yeah, I philosophically struggle with that one. In my mind, you're either an adult or you're not. And so I don't smoke on a cigar when I golf. Obviously, we know the effects of smoking. We know the effects of a lot of things we do that shorten our lifespan, cost us all money. But I just really struggle with that. You know, going back to the old adage of if you can get shipped overseas and served, but you can't have a cigar, right? So I haven't supported in the past, but happy to follow up and maybe you can convince me otherwise.
I appreciate your honesty on that answer. One of the biggest struggles we're having at least the school level is the access to tobacco.
Sure.
And so we're confiscating up to 50 vapes, 50 devices a month.
Sure.
In schools. It's disrupting education, it's disrupting the flow of learning, and so that's why at least I support that issue.
So we could go to 19, right? Then you're
next to where it's going. Right. Yeah, I would be
middle ground.
To see the difference. Finding compromise is always a good way to move things forward.
Sure. No, I appreciate that concern. That's a different perspective, too, right? You have adults in your building that you're responsible for, and they're doing things legally outside the building, but not in the building. I don't know the answer to that, so happy to discuss that further.
Next question, please.
I'm Dylan Blix. I'm a sophomore at Superior High School, and I'm also a youth representative on the Douglas County Board.
Awesome.
And I was wondering what your stance is on, like, conservation of wildlife and that kind of land that we have so, like, prominent here in Wisconsin, and how we can kind of expand housing and that kind of thing and infrastructure without damaging the resources that we have around here.
Good question. So balance is important, right? Anytime we're looking at any issue. You're right, we are blessed in the Northwoods with a lot of public land. I also sit on the Forestry Council, so just knowing those numbers of how important our county forests, our private forests, and other lands are for, just as an economic driver, is just monumental for our area. But I don't think there has to be a conflict between housing and the environment, right? A lot of the stuff is getting built in town. That's why county has zoning, trying to keep things in areas where you want them and to keep certain development out of areas that you don't want them. We worked really hard this session with our package investment for affordable housing to really incentivize communities to take a look again at their zoning codes and say, I know this worked in the past, but does it still work? How do we build higher density housing in areas where traditionally you might not have wanted them? And so, you know, single family zoning is great, but there's communities now getting creative that, you know, previously we didn't allow add-ons for mom and dad. You can't have two different structures on one lot. Maybe we need to start reimagining how we envision housing since things are so costly right now. And so as we look to create more affordable units, we have to keep what we have. And so $50 million out of that $525 million was supposed to be loans. It was vetoed and made into grants. I didn't agree with that, but it is what it is. So now my job is go get it. And so go get the grants. There's $50 million out there for people of low to moderate income to improve their housing stock, to make sure it doesn't continue to be run down. New roofs, new siding, new windows, free money from the state. So go get as much of it as you can. Thank you so much again for letting me join you. Please reach out to our office anytime. Again, maps change, lines change, people change, but whatever we can do to be of assistance to your offices or to what your respective organizations do, please let us know.
That was State Senator Romaine Quinn. Coming up, the area shows off its wares at the Parade of Products. Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We all know how great our area is and is world-renowned for its environment. But that's not all we have to offer, and to get the word out, officials and entrepreneurs showed off their wares at Superior Day's Parade of Products. Here are a few of their offerings.
Would you like a bagel sample?
Well, how could I not? Yes. And you are?
I'm Lexi.
From?
Liftbridge Bagels in Superior.
The Liftbridge is somewhere else, you know.
It was in Duluth. It's the Twin Ports. It's kind of the same community.
But the bagels are in Superior, seriously.
Yes, they
right.
are.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
Yep. So I've got a bunch of different flavors here. I've got cinnamon sugar, plain, and then some savory ones here.
Okay. You know what? Asagio.
Asiago, yes.
Hmm. Yeah. Have you been to Superior Days before?
I have not, no.
So what do you think?
I just got here today. I baked all these fresh in Superior this morning and then drove here. So I just got here. So far it's been great.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll let somebody else respond.
Okay, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try a bagel.
For sure. What kind would you like?
Everything.
Everything?
It's got to be everything.
You want to grab a napkin?
Is that everything?
It's everything.
Oh, yeah.
You want to grab a napkin?
And you are?
My name's Colin Zervis.
And you're representing?
Oofta Kombucha.
Tell us about it.
We're a small kombuchery out of Superior, Wisconsin. It's just myself and my business partner, McKenna Dagger. We make a organic kombucha. We do a full fermentation, and it's a non-alcoholic product. And we have, you know, 7 or 8 different flavors right now. You can find us at Super One, Mount Royal Market, and on tap at quite a few of the breweries in town.
And I didn't know there was such a thing as a kombuchery, but that's what kombucheries are called, huh?
Yeah, we call it the butchery. Yeah, that's what we call it. You want to try it?
Yeah, which one was this?
So that's hops. That's hops.
Okay.
You're more than welcome to try the rest of it. What can I get you?
I'll do a hop as well. That'd be great.
Yeah. They're both good, yeah.
The hops a lot sweeter than I pictured it would be.
It's a little bit. So that's our second batch of it. Turned out a little sweeter than we wanted it to be.
Good.
But
I think it's excellent.
Yeah, thanks. Wow. Yeah, it's still a work in progress. They all are, right?
What's
they
your
all
fave?
Yeah, I get it. That's
what's your favorite? Works.
Every round is a little bit different.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Why oofta, though? Isn't oofta more of a Minnesota phrase?
It's Midwestern.
All right.
I mean, honestly, the reason we're in Superior is because Jim with the SBDC in the Superior Business Center, they had the shared kitchen space. And so that's where we were for 3 years, in a shared kitchen. And then we grew a little bit bigger. They bought the old post office, gave us two rooms in the basement, said, hey, make it into a brewery. So I said, okay.
I didn't know there was a brewery in the basement.
Okay. Yeah, so we're in the basement, and it's been great. So we've been there for just over a year now, brewing out of there.
Great.
Yeah.
All right.
So, okay. Yeah, thank you.
Hello. And what do you have here?
We are Serenity Spa and Salon and Vivid Beauty and Wellness. So we are here at Serenity Spa and Salon because our motto is small business, big impact. We try and have the biggest impact on our community as we possibly can as a small business. We host free classes for our community, such as Dad's Days, where they bring their daughters in. We help them work with their hair, teach them how to detangle, how to care for that, lights, detention, and prevention, and then give them some free products to work with. We also adopt some parks. We do cleanups for our community. We own a boutique, so we donate all of our last season products to nursing homes, foster care systems, and schools. And then this is Vivid Beauty Wellness.
Yeah, so Vivid is a full medical grade skincare line that was actually created. Right,
a full what?
Full medical grade skincare line, created right in Superior, Wisconsin. And we also have like a whole smile kit that we do, so teeth whitening in home and at the shop here. So we do like self tanner, the full medical grade skincare, lip plumper, different serums, and a little bit of everything.
Yes.
So what does medical grade mean? I mean, it sounds obvious, but maybe it isn't obvious.
Yeah, so anything that, you know, you can just buy at Target or like over the counter, not medical grade. So this was worked with directly with a doctor to create the perfect, technically the perfect potion, I would say. Yeah, the perfect potion, making sure it's healthy, it's at a good level, and we work with sensitive skin as well, so we want to kind of make sure it's okay for everybody to use.
And when it's medical grade, it also is going to be at a higher potency than what they can sell at the drugstore. So it's going to really get the extra kick that we could get for over-the-counter.
And was it developed in Superior? Or?
Yes, created with a doctor and then the owner, Jolene, in Superior.
Well, who's the doctor?
Dr. Chart.
Yeah, he's been great with finding the right formulations, also the right scents, because that's important as well when it comes to skincare. It's right on your face. So it's been a fun process to move forward with.
And where are you located specifically?
1705 Tower Avenue is the M&H building. So we have all of these beauty and wellness stores within one building.
All right. And what are you doing?
So this is a self-tanner. So basically, you can put this all over your body. It's a really nice light color, but you can also do layers if you want it darker, anything like that. It has a scent when you first put it on, but after it dries, there's no scent. You don't need to wash it off, but if you would like it to be a little lighter, you wash it once. No scrubbing or anything like that. And yeah, it turns out to just be the perfect natural tan.
Okay, and that's medical grade too?
Correct, yep.
Okay, and your name is?
Lainey Shore.
Rhea Horst.
Jessica Mattson.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Mark Abels Ellis. I'm the county administrator with Bayfield County, Wisconsin, here at the 39th annual Superior Days event. We spent a day listening to our agency directors, speaking with our legislators, and then we went to the Capitol and lobbied on issues of local importance. And now we're here at the booth, end of the day, and Bayfield County has a special quiz that we're offering with some special prizes. So, Robin, pick a number between 1 and 8.
You're going to embarrass me here, okay. Do I tell you?
Tell me what number it is.
You can edit it if you need to.
All right, eight.
Eight, number eight, all right, your question.
We're looking at a map here, by the way,
what
so
is
eight
sixth,
is on Bayfield County, I can tell you that.
What is the sixth fastest growing county in Wisconsin, according to the 2020 census?
Well, I'm seeing this is rigged already. I would guess Bayfield.
Hey, very Good. All right. Now, you get a prize, or if you want to double down, I can ask you another question.
So this is the Price is Right. I get to double it. Okay. All right. Door number three.
Door number three. What is the most northernmost county in Wisconsin?
All right. I'm getting adrift here. Bayfield.
Here's your prize. You get a prize. Nice job.
Let me, as if I can't guess what direction we're going here, I will take number four, because according to your map, it's further down.
Number four. York Sand and Raspberry Islands are in what county?
Well, I have to admit, I didn't think of, I did think of islands when I think of, okay, Bayfield.
Bayfield County, now.
They're part of the Apostle Islands National League.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All the rest of the Apostle Islands, including Madeline, want to join Bayfield County, so that's a work in progress.
Ah, so what do they belong with now?
Ashland County.
Well, they do
yes.
They? Okay.
But
right.
They've seen the light, and they know where it would be better to be, so they're pushing to be annexed and come into Bayfield County.
You're going to get in trouble.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm the guy to get you in trouble.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Celeste, do you want to hit the drum?
So, Celeste, tell us what this drum is all about.
So, I know we bang the drum when you are trying to do your rhythm for rowing when you are out there in the dragon boats.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're in Madison right now, so you didn't bring a dragon boat. What did you bring?
Jim Caesar brought everything.
I didn't bring anything.
Jim, tell us what we have here and how I got here and why is it in Madison?
We brought a dragon boat display. You know, dragon boats coming up in August again. And so we wanted to bring this down, show the people in Madison what we have going on in August every year, the Dragon Boat Festival.
August 23rd and 24th. And we're looking for community members to actually sponsor and join a boat to row, 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 and beat the drum and chant to excite their team and see who can win this year. I'm excited about it. It's tons of fun every year. So much fun. We have live bands in the evening, tons of food trucks, and it goes towards a fantastic cause.
All right. And you are Sarah May. Thank you. Over here we have Superior Museums, but you didn't bring the mansion.
We couldn't bring the mansion.
Sorry. We brought a tea cup from the mansion.
There we go. All right. And what do we have in the teacup?
So those are those old-fashioned candies.
Yep, the like cinnamon and peppermint, root beer, those fun little old-fashioned candies that you can pick up places.
Okay. So tell us about the museums.
Yeah, so Fairlawn Mansion is the Victorian, Queen Anne Victorian home in Superior that was a private residence of Martin Pattison and his family from 1891 to 1918, and then it was a children's home for 42 years. So it had a very unique history, and then it's been a museum ever since. SS Meteor is the last whaleback ship above water. They were designed and built by Captain Alexander McDougall, who is actually known around the world. So it's a great asset to the maritime history on Lake Superior. And then we have the old Firehouse and Police Museum, which was an operating fire hall in Superior from 1898 until 1982. And it's also the state of Wisconsin Police and Fire Hall of Fame museum as well. So it has a lot of firefighting and police history in it.
The Meteor is the last whaleback above water, so you
correct.
Just implied something else.
Yes, so that means they were either shipwrecks or dismantled when they were no longer needed. So the city of Superior, when the SS Meteor was going to be scrapped, learned about that and decided it was too important to maritime history not to keep. So they put it on Barker's Island, the very first thing on the man-made island in Superior, and it's been a museum ever since 1970.
And what makes a whaleback a whaleback?
So a whaleback is rounded. So McDougall had it designed, so the whaleback ships, there were barges as well that had the rounded, so the water would, the waves would just wash over and there'd be less resistant to wind and waves. So it ran very low in the water.
Okay. And your name is?
Megan Meyer. I'm Caitlin Bauman.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hello.
Hi.
You brought your ship with you.
I did. My small version of it, right?
So tell us what you did bring.
I did bring. My name is Matt. I'm the representative from University of Wisconsin-Superior, and what I brought with us was a schematic and layout of our latest project. It's the Sadie Ann. It's our education and research vessel. It'll be arriving sometime later this summer, and we hope to have it available for all learners to do some programming on it.
And tell us more about it. What does it do? What makes it special?
Yeah, so it is a diesel-electric hybrid. It's in the home of the Lake Superior Research Institute. So it is an innovative vessel, one of the first probably on Western Lake Superior to both be powered by a diesel John Deere engine and an ESCO hybrid engine. It will operate much like what you think a Prius would operate, toggle between the diesel engine as well as the battery powered on it. So it has two classrooms on the lower deck, a wet lab and a dry lab, and then the upper deck has a larger classroom for lectures and stuff. 65-ish feet in length, can hold 49 passengers, so it's a great opportunity to bring a large school group out to learn about just about anything. Most people will probably see it as kind of a STEM vessel, but I think we envision, and its mission is written such that we want to encourage others to think beyond that. So think about having an art class out and looking at the lake, or going to watch some birds, or social workers coming out to learn about a place and how to handle that kind of training and education. So.
STEM being science, technology, engineering, math, and STEAM is when you put arts in there. So that art class you're talking about would make it a steamship.
Steamship. Powered by not coal. Yeah, so it's pretty cool. It is currently being built. See the pictures before you here in Harvey, Louisiana. It was designed by one of the world's premier naval architects. In Cat Crowther, they build a lot of catamarans around the world for a variety of different purposes. And then we were fortunate enough to have a donation through the Swenson Family Foundation that afforded us the opportunity to make our dream come true. And we're off and running.
All right.
My name is Eden Murray, and the name of our company is Super Roll Games. And this particular game that we're demonstrating today here at Superior Days in Madison, Wisconsin, is called Ten Hole. And Ten Hole is basically beer pong meets shuffleboard. We don't obviously, play it like beer pong. We don't drink with every shot made. But it's a great game. Like one person once told me, it's like eating a potato chip. You can't play just once. And, with that being said, we have different variations of our 10-hole game. We have the Grand McGee, the one that we have here in front of us, which is basically either a bar stool height type table, or it can be a sit-down type table. And it comes with an optional cover that is, serves as a dual-purpose table where you can sit down, eat, have dinner at it, drinks, what have you. And if you want to play the game, just take the cover off, put it off to the side, and you can play the games.
So let's demonstrate the one, which, by the way, looks like an arena.
Yeah, my oldest son actually came up with the design, our default design concept, and it does. It looks like a hockey rink.
Do you want to?
Sure. The game is very simple. You basically take one of these little half-inch steely pucks with a quarter-inch plastic casing on it, and there's a no-pass line here, so you shoot, but you can't pass that line there when you release the puck. That's the idea. You want to try to make a hole. And when you make the hole, you take one of these acrylic chips and you plug the hole like so. And there's 10 holes on each end. First person to fill all 10 holes wins the game. You can look us up on Facebook at Super Roll Games. Like us and follow us. And you can also see some videos of what we have on YouTube at Super Roll Games as well. You can contact us at 218-393-9006.
All right, we got it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And that's just a small sampling of what our area has to offer, but you knew that. And even if you couldn't make the delegation to the Capitol, you can still spread the word. That's it for this edition of Simply Superior. From Madison, I'm Robin Washington, and stay safe, everyone.
Simply Superior news and issues from a superior point of view. Gathered to mirror your life and interests with the goal of helping you to understand the world we live in and the region we hold dear by sharing the stories and information you'll enjoy. And